This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 125, sponsored by Jim Handler's Universe, FooComics.com, and InStockTrades.com.
And our excellent enunciation and diction.
Diction.
Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 125. My name is Connor. I'm here with
Ron.
And
I'm Captain Professional. That's me, Josh Flanagan.
We are iFanboy.com. We like comics. We read comics. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best one and writes about it on the website. And then we talk about it on this podcast along with various other books of the week and topics of interest. But before we get to the show, quick reminder, warning, this is a review show. We will be talking about things that happened in the books this week, so if you haven't worried about them, that's stupid. If you haven't read them yet, and you're worried about spoilers, please pause the show, come back after you're done. If not, just keep on rolling.
This week is going to be... I don't want to hear this.
Then Josh, pause the show.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Click. This week, it's going to be a quick one. Ron's got the pick of the week. Ron... go.
Yeah, I mean, get ready for a monologue as I've done the unthinkable, and I picked Invincible number 49 as the pick of the week this week.
Can I give you a bravo? Nice work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think that needed to happen at some point just to keep the wolves at bay.
Well, true, but and part of it is that it needed to be pick worthy. It needed to be good.
Indeed.
Wait, before you jump into it, I'd like to address something.
Okay.
There was some commentary on the website about how they were happy this happened because we've been neglecting Invincible.
Okay.
I can't think of a book we've pushed more in various forms of media than Invincible has. Just because it's been pick of the week doesn't mean we've been neglecting it.
Right.
You know, we talk about it all the time.
Maybe those people aren't aware of our other programs.
Go ahead. I'm done with the rant.
Well, part of the reasoning that we got that reaction was because up until about 6-7 months ago, we were all reading it in trade paperback version, in trade paperback format, which has you waiting every few months to get the batch of 6 to 7 issues and
year. Year works.
Year. And you guys particularly really enjoyed, sitting down and reading the latest, Invincible trade and kind of the ups and downs that each one brought. I was kind of curious to see what it read like in issue format. So when they did issue number 42, which was like a jumping on point for new readers and stuff like that, it was the right timing because the last trade had recently come out. And I was like, I'm going to jump to issues. So I started buying it in issues. And I got to admit, it was a little rough because, the release schedule isn't the most solid. The monthly schedule, the monthly schedule isn't as held to. And honestly, and it was something that I was feeling in the more recent trades, and maybe you guys will disagree with me or not, but I was kind of getting bored by Invincible. I was kind of – it was really good, but it wasn't really it was just kind of – I felt as if it was just kind of on repeat. It was just like –
You don't know. We haven't read those issues.
Well, no. But no, but I mean – but even though, even the last two trades I read before I jumped to issues was like, okay, he fights somebody. Oh, he's got a girlfriend. Oh, Adam Eve. Oh, his girlfriend. Oh, fight somebody. You know what I mean? Like –
I thought that when I got the last trade, I think it's the eighth one.
Yeah, I think so.
This last one that came out. I did think that right in the beginning. I was like, huh, maybe it lost a little of the thing. And then, but then by the end of it, I was just like, yes, again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I don't think – I haven't had any problem with it.
Okay. Well, I was feeling it, maybe from also reading the issues, because the last couple issues have been a little repetitive. So this is issue number 49, and it's – This is the issue right before the big issue number 50, which is probably, I'm guessing, going to be bringing about a fairly big paradigm shift in Invincible in terms of how the story is told and who the players are and all that kind of stuff. It just really, I mean, it did it for me in every way that a comic book does it for you. In that, and I'm purposely not talking about what happens because I don't want to ruin it for you guys because you know. I defer to you guys as opposed to the listening audience.
I'll throw my headset right there.
But needless to say, it starts off at a very big fight. I think I talked about the last issue on the show before, where Kirkman had pulled in pretty much every hero that he liked and he used in the Image universe. You know, Savage Dragon is there, and Brit and Wolfman and all that kind of stuff, and Super Patriot and all the likes. And it starts off with the kind of the resolution to the big fight that started in the last issue, and then just the wheels start turning towards what we're building up towards issue 50, where it seems like, you know, his situation with his with the government and his handler isn't really gonna stay as solid as it's been.
Is this? I saw in the preview he's getting like a new costume, and his brother's got a costume. Has that happened yet, or is that part of the season?
No, I think that happens in the next issue.
Okay.
Yeah, that has not happened yet. Yeah. So I talked about this a little bit on the mini episode about this on Friday. What I just love about what Kirkman does with this is that it's superheroes and they're you know ridiculous fighting robots and things like that. But then at the same time, you know, like. He steps out of the fight, Invincible or Mark Grayson steps out of the fight and like has this very real conversation with Adam Eve, you know, like his very, you know, like this very kind of accessible and kind of, I don't want to say realistic, but relatable, you know, kind of approach, which I think is what really makes this, you know, different from everything else out there.
One of the best parts of the book is not the fighting, it's I think the relationship between Adam Eve and Mark and the love triangle he had with his old girlfriend and the two and them. It was really real, I thought. I've been in those situations where you know, you're dating somebody else, but someone else comes along that you think you should have been with before, and it was very raw at times, and that's one of the best parts of the book, I thought.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things, which is not a story point, but I just love how every time he goes to the Pentagon, and it's always that same panel of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just noticed the sign says, you know, parking in rear, which just, I don't know, like little touches like that just made me laugh. But each issue has been, like I said, it felt a little repetitive, but you always get the feeling that it's building towards something. And it definitely had that feeling with this. And now, like, it was like one of the first three books I read in my stack this week. And now, like, when I put it down, I'm like, you know, issue 50 can't come soon enough. And like, and that's what I was looking for, was that, does that same feeling we have at the end of the trade carry through at the end of the issues? And finally, with this issue, it has. So I was super excited for that.
And the art was by Ryan Ottley still?
The art was by Ryan Ottley still.
I love Ryan Ottley. If there's
really
anybody
good
out there that I like want to get an actual sketch from, it's him at this point. Like,
yeah.
I don't really chase them that often, but he's like the one guy I would love to have a piece of his art.
It's cool. Really, really good. There's a great two-page spread in here that was just like, you know, just madcap action and you know, actually there's a couple of two-page spreads that were really, really good. So
if you want to see some of that, it's in the mini that came out on a Friday.
Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing those pages.
Yeah, they were nice. It was good art. So yeah, so Invincible number 49, it did it for me, and I just can't wait for issue 50 at this point.
You'll see that in 2 months? How many months?
One would hope. I have no idea.
One and a half months?
Yeah, who knows?
I can't wait for trade number 9, which we will see sometime in the next decade.
Yeah.
We'll be campaigning for the 2012 presidential election.
I'm assuming that maybe issue 50 would be the last issue they need for that trade, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Usually there's six of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be a big trade is what I'm getting, apparently.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything. Why am I saying this? I don't know. Oh, Garth
Just
Ennis,
keep talking,
me.
It'll go away.
So it was honestly a rough week for me because I know Connor, you had a rough time last week because there was a lot of mediocrity last week, and I think there was a lot of mediocrity this week. Like there was nothing that was like, you know, oh my god, blah, blah, blah.
There's a lot of mediocrity out of Marvel. There was a lot of good DC this week.
Oh, I didn't get a lot of
stuff
DC.
Stuff you don't read.
That's probably why.
I read a lot of
the DC I got was just like, okay. Borderline awful, but we'll
Josh, see. But what was fun?
Oh, Garth Ennis's War is Hell, Flight of the Phantom Eagle. I believe I got that right.
So you got
Flight of the Phantom Eagle.
Yeah. Written by Garth Ennis and drawn by Howard Chaykin. This was my pick of the week. Easy.
It was very close second for me.
What we're looking at here is a World War I fighter pilot story. Basically, there's in the middle of World War I, there's a base with a British flight squadron. And a dude in a weird, ugly plane lands and is like, yeah, here's my papers. I'm going to go fight with you now. and there's all these sort of – they're almost caricatures of British officers.
Yep.
And like there's this really, really funny scene where he goes in to give his papers to the whoever the clerical person is. And the guy keeps offering him a drink over and over again because he's completely drunk out of his fucking mind. And it kept going on and on, and you think he's completely incompetent, and then they're all about to take off, and that guy runs out, and he's like, wait a minute, there's no record of you, you're lying, and then he gets chopped up and killed.
By a rotor in that plane, not by a...
This was Garth Ennis.
Yep.
I mean, like, it was all of the things that I really like about Garth Ennis comics. You know, it's just like, the dude getting chopped up in the plane propeller, you know, that it's of course it's over the top and violent, and that sort of that speaks to his background and the stuff that he does well, but also at the same time it was really
funny.
Interesting.
Well, it wasn't even. I mean, like, for me, I was iffy about it going into it because I love, and we'll probably talk about the art in a second, but I love the Howard Chaykin art, and I'm reading Ennis, and I'm like, wow, this is really reading like an old kind of war, you know, old timey kind of war comic, and then I see that drunk character, and he gets chopped in the propellers. I'm like, oh, whatever. But what really did it for me is the point where the guy who shows up who wants to fly is all excited to be flying, and keeping in mind this is World War I, and there's a whole. I thought it was a great kind of stage. Setting thing
in the opening,
the first page that explained how, you know, listen, you know, planes were never, you know, planes weren't intended to be weapons in the war. They were they were open canopied. They were, it was very dangerous, all this kind of stuff. And then later in the issue, the guy, you know, he takes flight and he sees a German plane and he shoots him and he shoots the head off of the pilot. And the reaction shot of that I thought was amazing. And then the guy's, you know, going like, oh, it was horrible. He's like, you're supposed to fight. And like, it was just like the reality of what really was happening. And then this is the shot of the plane flying headless with just a trail of blood behind it was just.
But then at the very end, it was still grounding.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is one of the things that Garth Ennis does really well. And you know, it is starting to come around that way in The Boys, but it was just much quicker here. I loved this. This was total fun. This was a good book.
It was. It was really good.
Go back and check it out.
Did you get the cast?
It's really great to see that he's still getting to do war comics somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that he's allowed to somewhere, but good stuff.
The Cassidy cover didn't hurt either.
Yeah, no. It's nice.
And Chaykin is just, this is great Chaykin. He was on. Yeah.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed his art in this.
This is the kind of stuff he needs to do, not Wolverine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He needs to do this stuff. Captain America 35, which is the end of Act 2 of The Death of Captain America. I don't remember where Act 1 ended.
Does it really matter? Because I'm going to buy an omnibus that has 26 through 50, and who cares? That's what I'm saying. I'm buying it right now. I mean, unless some shit goes down. But speaking of shit going down, some shit went down, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, again, if you haven't read this book or you're waiting for trades or anything, now's the time when you want to skip forward. Check the show notes when we're going to talk about the next book. I'm just going to talk about the last page here.
Mm-hmm. You see, but I saw that coming a mile away.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
It ends with Sharon Carter trying to escape or something, and she stumbles upon a tank with what looks like Steve Rogers in stasis. And it's obviously Red Skull's cloning him. I mean, like, Red Skull has cloned his body before. Yeah.
Can I drop some knowledge on you?
Sure.
That I acquired from our good friends at Jim Hanley's Universe?
Sure.
When the Red Skull – if you remember way back in the 80s, Captain America, the Red Skull had cloned Steve Rogers' body, and basically that's the body that he used for a while.
Yeah.
He actually made two copies.
Yeah.
And the other one was just sort of never talked about again. So it's very likely that this is that copy.
Right.
However, which means that this could then have Steve Rogers, you know, conscience put into it, and then he's back to fighting.
Yeah.
Or you know, or they could make another one out of it. But I think that the actual Steve Rogers, he's gone and dead.
Yes.
The only other thing I thought of was there was all that talk about, like, 1940s Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, there was going to be – so maybe, you know, there was a sec – I don't know.
Well, there's that miniseries, the Alex Ross miniseries, the 1940s Captain America is coming. Yeah. The ending was interesting. I didn't think it was that shocking, but the best moment – no, because I don't think he's coming back. I don't think that's going to lead to him coming back. If it does, it's going to be something – I'm not convinced he is coming back, to be honest with you. But I thought the best moment of the best moment of the book was when Bucky tried to rally the crowd like Captain America would, and they all went, "Who the fuck are you?"
and I thought with the second best the moment right behind that was when Black Widow leaves and they make out and Bucky finally smiles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I realized I had never ever seen him smile.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep.
Good stuff. A good fight with Crossbones and Bucky.
And my whole thing with it is that I keep saying is like, yes, it's good, but it's not. And I know you guys are always like blown away by it, but I'm never blown away by it. I mean, it's really, really good, but it's just like, okay, it's more the same, you know? So
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
Why do you hate America? Because that's what I'm getting here.
I think a lot of Brubaker stuff is like that because the level is so high and it's so high every month that you never have a standout issue because they're all standout issues. So when you have a standout issue every month, it's rote. It's like having a steak every night. Eventually, you get bored with the steak.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not that the comic's bad. It's a good comic. I think this is a really great comic. There's not a better comic out there, but the problem is it's a great comic every single month.
Yeah.
I just think you're getting bored with that quality. Maybe you should switch to trades.
No. No, I mean it's good. I mean, it's good. It's just, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad at all. I mean, you know, like, and honestly, the same thing could be said with Invincible, to be honest. You know, it's just that it's that level of quality month in, month out, you know, so...
That's why we read.
Yeah, it's horrible to have good comics every month. Yeah,
well, on the topic of having, you know, horrible in comics, The Flash number 238.
I dropped that shit like it was hot.
Oh God. So this is the first issue with new writer Tom Pyre.
Pyre?
I don't know.
I believe he's from Ithaca.
Really?
Around that area. I might be completely off base here.
You know, I'm not really for, you know, drastic measures or any sort of harm to children.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my God,
kids gotta go.
They need to kill the kids. They need to get rid of them. They need to get rid of them. They need to get rid of them.
So that was Mark Waid's run.
Yeah, it's done.
His bunch, was it always going to be short?
No, I think it was probably cut short by the other decisions that he made.
Who knows how that was decided, but it was very quickly decided it wasn't going to be an indefinite run.
Yeah, yeah. And it probably had a lot to do with him leaving to go to Boom and all that kind of stuff. But still,
I think that's more than the reaction to the book. Because by that point, the book is still.
Yeah.
I think he'd only written one or two issues, so really the reaction hadn't gotten really bad yet.
And what really irked me about this was that this whole issue is kind of built around the fact that Wally is feeling the pressure of having to provide for a family. And so what happens is that, you know, like the cable goes out because they didn't pay the bill and the kids are freaking out and blah blah blah.
He's Spider-Man.
Well, not only that. Well,
Justice League.
It starts off with like this big title page explaining the characters. And my biggest problem is what they've done to Linda Park, because it says, you know, Linda Park West, an extremely brilliant, hot, and lovable former med student who is by default the world's leading authority in velocibiology, the science of inherited super speed effects. Wasn't she a freaking TV reporter?
Yes.
Not too long ago.
And then she left. I remember she left to go to med school, but I don't remember her getting terribly far in med school. Anyway, but
no, she became an expert in the future.
Right, I know, but yeah. So what happens is that he's feeling the stress, and then an earthquake hits Keystone, and him and Jay Garrick go to help, and the media is there, and the media asks, you know, Wally, like, you know, because I guess the villain who did the earthquake got away. And so the reporter's like, are you upset because the villain got away? And Wally's like, you want to know why I'm so tense? This job doesn't pay a thing. That's why I'm tense. And then it becomes this whole media, the Flash wants money and blah, 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 Flash isn't a hero. And I was like, that's never something that would happen. You know, and then like
Wally would never say that.
Never, never would say that. I don't want to get too kind of geeky on it, but like it just everything feels so incredibly out of character.
It's out of character. He's been out of character since he's been back.
Yeah. Totally.
He's been way out of character since he's been back.
Totally.
I don't know who this person is. He's not Wally West.
Yep.
I am so happy I dropped this book. It's ridiculous. It's this travesty that this book is it's the state it's in right now.
And then the fact that the kid's powers, his son's powers are that he bulks up and gets really strong. And it, towards the end of this issue, he does it and it rips his shirt off. And so it's like this little 6-year-old who like looks like the Hulk, and it's really kind of freaky.
So, yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, it needs to stop now. So like I don't know
stop buying it and they'll change it.
I know, but I can't. I've been buying it for so long. I don't want to stop.
I bought the Flash since I was 12 years old.
I know.
I dropped it because it's horrible. You have to at some point. You have to give up. You have to put your foot down and say this is bad comics.
It's so bad. It's so bad. And I gotta tell you, I've been pro Freddie Williams from what I saw in Robin, but the art was not good.
His art on Robin is better than the art on Flash. Yeah, I will say that.
I don't know what changed, but this art is not good.
I just think this book never hit a stride. Yeah. It's just, you know, like Robin, why'd they break that up? It was going great, yeah. You know?
Well.
But people get sick of it. Hey, speaking of travesties.
The Circle number 5 was the gut punch of the week.
And why is that?
Well, this I think this might have been my pick of the week. This is a book, The Circle, from Image Comics, Brian Reed and Ian Hosfeld, that got better with every issue. I thought the first issue was pretty good. The second issue got better. By the time I got to the fifth issue, this was like a rollicking summer action movie ride. Queen and Country, all on steroids.
Okay. Yeah, I had missed issue number 4 at some point, and I went back and picked it up a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh my god, this! And it was the issue where everything coalesced, like you weren't really looking, and all of a sudden
4 was,
like,
where it got real, yeah.
And then 5 wrapped up that first story and was going to set you up to go along, and it was great. It was fantastic. I mean, they literally got better with every single issue.
And then what happened?
At the end, there's a letter from the writer which says there probably isn't a next issue.
Probably?
At least anytime soon. It's not for lack of want on behalf of Ian and myself. It's because, let's be frank, sales of The Circle have been absolutely awful. If we doubled our sales, we might have achieved abysmal. We've been in the red since issue 1, and Eric Stevenson has been kind enough to let us finish our first arc before shuffling off to this mortal coil.
That's a shame.
It's just terrible. This was a book that books like this need to get more exposure, and it's just awful when a book like this can't survive.
Okay, so what can we do about it? Can we tell people to go buy the issues, email Image, tell them that they like it, or you know,
it's a done deal, I think.
Well,
I mean,
you know, every little bit helps, you know.
No, I think if everybody went back and bought back issues, there's 5 of them. I'm sure they're all readily available. They're maybe not. I mean, I'm probably sure many stores don't even carry the book.
Yeah.
If you like, you know, if there's lots of people out there we know who like action, who like Queen and Country, who like spy stories. This is a summer action movie. It's really, really well done. The art was amazing.
The art styles most closely resemble, I would say, like a Steve Rolston kind of art.
Oh, I like Steve Rolston.
Very similar to that kind of style. Great book. I mean, it was a total fun ride, and it got better with every issue. And really sad to see it go, because the other thing that you're seeing is, it's one of those things where this is the first thing that Brian Reed has done that isn't a Marvel property. So it's his first real book, you know, of his own creating. And he, you could see it on the page. He was getting better with everyone. I mean, like, it was one of those, you're seeing the artist develop as he goes. And that's always really exciting. So that sucks.
Yeah. So
go back. If you see the store, pick it up. Check it out. There's only 5 issues. There's probably only ever going to be 5 issues.
You can probably find them. And if you can't find them at your local store, they're probably looking at an online retailer or somewhere. I'm sure you can find them online or something like that. And I think at this point, the biggest thing is either go to the Image Comics message board or email Image and tell them that you liked it and what you want more if you like it.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are doing that.
I am. Well, I know one place where it sold out, because I got the last issue when I went to Jim Hanley's Universe, which is one of the best and most progressive comic stores in America. They offer the best selection of comic titles and related merchandise, and they have mainstream and manga and minis, and just up and down the spectrum, they have everything. You can find them opposite from the Empire State Building in Midtown Manhattan, and at 325 New Dorp Lane in Staten Island. You can visit them on the web at jhuniverse.com, or friend them on MySpace. It's myspace.com/JimHanley'sUniverse, where art and literature meet.
While I was gone on my trip, I did some thinking about my books. I wrote a piece about this on LifeFanboy.com about, you know, what was I really enjoying? What was I really just telling myself I was enjoying? And Iron Fist is a book that I told myself I was enjoying. I'm not really enjoying this. And this is issue number 13. Issue 14 will be my last issue of Iron Fist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What if it's awesome?
It's not going to be awesome.
Wow.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that most of my enjoyment came out of David Aja's art.
Yeah.
And he's down to doing 3 pages an issue.
I did notice that this time, and it did piss me off. I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Where'd that?
I mean, it's nothing against the other guys who I think are fine. I think the book really was better when David Aja's doing it. His style is conducive to the story, but I just don't find anything interesting about all these different Iron Fists the different Rands and Wilson Rand and Orson Rand, and I just don't care about them.
I mean, it started off with really, really good potential, and remember how excited we were for this, you know, this tournament and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's just meandered, and you know, like I enjoy it, and I'll continue buying it, and I'll continue reading it. But like, I definitely see where the criticism is. I thought the last page of this issue like I was like, okay, cool, we're gonna get, partially because it's like, all right, this is gonna resolve, this is gonna end.
Well, first of all, it's 7 parts. I mean, this, I think one of the problems with this, and like Daredevil also suffers from this, is that the stories go on too long.
Yeah, too much, too big. Yeah,
the parts, too many parts. So it's like, this doesn't need to be 7 parts.
And I have a kind of dorky continuity nitpick. Luke Cage is here in this book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that fit?
Well, so is Danny Rand. Danny Rand's in the Avengers books also.
I know. Just like, come on. Like,
yeah, but I don't think this takes place over that much time. It's just taken a long time to tell in real time. I mean, to offer an opposite, I'm still really enjoying this. I do see what you mean. I think the story needs to finish up. I would like to see what this book is like when Danny Rand gets back to real life, I guess.
Yeah.
Gets out of Kunlun for a while and is back on the street. Because what are we, 13 issues in? We've been in Kunlun since the beginning of it. And I would like to see more David Aja. But overall, I still am enjoying this series a lot.
All right.
So there.
Well, you're wrong. No, I'm just... So, Connor, do you... I mean, like, is there any... Like, you're just not going to look back?
No, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish the arc. Yeah. And then I'm done with it. It's weird. A lot of weeks happen. Like, there's a week where there's like 4 Bendis books. There's a week where there's like 3 Brubaker books. And now this week there was 2 Chuck Dixon books. It's just weird how that happens. I wonder why that is. But the 2 Chuck Dixon books were Batman and the Outsiders 5 and Robin number 172. And I thought they were both really good. Batman and the Outsiders is a strange book because it was originally supposed to be Tony Bedard, and then he left right before the book came out. And they Chuck Dixon came on, and it really hasn't been Chuck Dixon's opening story. I think he's just come on and scripted it. Like, it doesn't feel as much like a Chuck Dixon story, but it becomes more and more like one with every issue. Are either one of you guys buying this?
No.
Well, in the last issue, basically it's Batman and the Outsiders, his team. In the last issue, he brought in Ollie Queen to join the team. And what you get now is this Outsiders team that's been together for a while, plus Batman. And then Oliver Queen comes in and starts acting like he's running the show when Batman's not around. And they all get mad at him, and there's a lot of arguing, which is... always good for Ollie Queen. But the big thing that happened, Ralph Dibny and Sue returned.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah. Hello. No one saw that. No one's reading this book, so no one knew that happened.
How?
I need to go back and read issue 4 because apparently they were back last issue, but they came back as ghosts.
Oh.
And they've inhabited the bodies of these 2 people in this issue. But they're back.
They were ghosts at the end of 52, so that's...
Yeah. They're back. They're part of the Outsiders now, and they're... as ghosts.
That's an interesting decision.
Yeah, so now you've got Batman, Green Arrow, Ralph and Sue Dibny, Batgirl, and some other assorted old Outsiders. It's a really good team. It's a really good makeup, and I'm looking forward to the next arc when Dixon really gets to write his own stories.
Are you enjoying it still?
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Okay.
It's very good, and I think this is one of those books that's probably way too far under the radar, but really good. Right. And I think Robin also... Talking about people coming back, the second to last page of Robin shows the person behind the spoiler mask, mm-hmm. and we don't know who the hell that is, but I think Robin's been really good also.
I'm half and half on Robin. I like the personal, his life stuff. I think that he's been chasing this girl for like 3 issues now, and I don't know who she is, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. I think that part's been going on a little while. I loved the scene where he calls Zoan's dad.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. That was fun. That kind of stuff. I just feel like we've been stuck in the mire for a little while with this one, but at least it comes out on time.
Oh, the little things, isn't it?
I wanted to bring up Jason Aaron's Ghost Rider, issue number 21. And you know what? I wasn't going to get this. I wasn't going to read it. And I got to say, it was...
Why?
Because I don't care about Ghost Rider. There really is a thing where I just don't like the character that much. And I think it's a little schlocky. But I think that one of the things that Aaron is doing correctly is that he's taking that schlocky and he's going, all right, let's really do it then.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the vampire goes zombie highway. You know, like, we're going to do sort of exploitative horror stories. Let's really do them. And, like, the nurses. And it was like, it's like a Grindhouse movie, basically. This issue I thought was better than the one before it, if only because I felt it sort of gelled in what it was doing better. It really, like, last week or last month, you guys were saying, oh, it felt like a Vertigo book. And this month, it really felt like a Vertigo book to me. I don't know if I really saw it so much last time, but I definitely did this time. I just had fun reading it. Like, it was just, they kept piling stuff on top of other stuff, and I was like, okay, that's cool. They're not going to try to make it like Ghost Rider in the Marvel Universe really so much, which I think is better because he doesn't really have a place in the Marvel Universe as it exists now. Overall.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, he's not going to join the Defenders again.
Exactly. I mean, I had fun with this. It was good. Better than expected.
I still love Roland Boshi's Boshi's or whatever pronounce it. The art, I for some reason I just really like it. With every page, I was like, ooh, you know, like I just like the way the balance between the coloring and just like and for some reason just a lot of the figures and which is it surprises me because when I first saw it, I didn't like it.
It's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very sort of Grindhouse style, and it's a perfect description of it. It is a B movie that's reveling in its B movie status.
Yep.
And the ending, the last page, I was like, oh.
Yeah, totally. And I love the teaser for the next issue with the, you know, death race on Ghost Cannibal Highway or
exactly.
Cycle Nurses kill kill kill.
I mean, it is a Quentin Tarantino movie, but it's actually I think more fun than Wolverine.
Really?
Wolverine's very very good, but this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is.
You know
fun.
What I mean?
Exactly what it is.
Yeah. I'm really surprised. This is the surprising book of the month.
Yeah, who'd have thought that I would be on here telling you to read a Ghost Rider book?
Yeah.
Not me.
Not me either, not at all.
Speaking of who'd have thought, I've been reading Thor.
Wow.
Yeah.
From the beginning?
No, I started a few issues ago just to sort of see what it was like because I love Thor. I always have. I like the mythology stuff. I've always been a fan of it.
It's like you're admitting to an affair.
It's not, but I mean, I'm not a fan of Michael Straczynski's work. I don't think he does long stories really well. His stories sort of lose focus, and I don't know what the point of them is. He does issues or sort of small stories within those really well, and this was one of those. I don't even know exactly what's going on because I've missed the first few, but it looks like Thor is putting Asgard back together, and he's getting all the other gods back together. And
what, with Legos? I mean, like, how is he?
I don't even know. I don't entirely understand, so I'm just sort of picking it up as I go.
Is it like the Blues Brothers?
I just picture Thor going into Home Depot, and he's like, listen, I'm going to need some rainbow wood. And so
basically, he's in charge where, you know, he's taking over Odin's position. And he goes into the Odin sleep, which is like this chamber where he goes into like a coma. Oh, come on, you're gonna laugh. It's fucking Thor. Jesus Christ. And so he goes into the sort of this land between death and not death, and he runs into his father, and they have like a conversation, and there's a flashback to when Odin was young, and he relates. It was a great issue. It was really good, and I'm a huge fan of the Thor redesign, and I always loved the old Thor costume, but this new costume works really well. I thought it's related enough to the old one, but it looks just updated enough to be pretty cool. So,
how are you doing with the lack of Thor speak?
It isn't like he doesn't talk like me. It's just toned down. It's definitely he still talks like Thor, but he doesn't do as much thy and thou and everything. It's just and it's in like that special Thor font.
Yeah,
like so it's not without. It's not like he's like, hey dudes, let's go get us some Fandral. Like it's not like that.
There's some embellishment.
Awesome if he was.
The one thing I heard about this issue in particular was about the art. I mean, were you impressed by the art or?
Yeah, it was really nice. I don't think
Marko Djurdjevic.
Yeah, it works really well for this because what it was retelling of old Odin stories, so it should be fantasy like and painted. Yeah. You know, I don't like that guy's work so much. He's a cover guy. You know, I don't like his work so much, like doing the new Avengers.
Right.
But for this, it was absolutely appropriate. It's good.
What did they call Odin's sleep before Odin?
Sleep.
Odin Daddy Sleep. I think that was the term.
I don't even know who you are anymore, Josh.
I've always liked Thor. I'm right here. I'm looking at my Walt Simonson drawing that's on the wall.
I'm pretty sure when this book came out, you and I together proclaimed we would never read this Thor book.
You did. I remember. I was there.
You are a liar.
Yeah.
And I hate you.
And I hate you. And I'm taking the kids and leaving.
Connor, I'm switching to issues on Invincible.
Fuck you.
I'm switching to issues on Why the Last Man, so there. Oh.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
After that next trade comes out, I'm all issues.
I need that trade. Where can I get that trade?
Well, Josh, if you wanted to go back and get the Thor trade to catch up on your dirty stories, you could go to instocktrades.com. The third off your books, and they got orders over $50 and over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock and available for order right now. New releases are listed every Wednesday, and orders usually ship within 48 hours at www.instocktrades.com. And we wanted to announce that you can get the I Fanboy Book of the Month, Queen and Country Definitive Edition Volume 1 for 40% off. That's a special deal they're doing with us for our Book of the Month. So if you're looking to check that out, go to instocktrades.com.
That's a wicked bargain.
It is.
That's a lot.
let's make with user reviews, shall we?
For those of you if you haven't been listening or you don't know, if you go to ifanboy.com/comics, that's where you can pick the comics that you bought this week, and then you can come back and you can rate and review them. And we like to kind of highlight a couple of reviews from the iFanboy community. And we thought it would be good to address some of the books that we didn't talk about. So Josh, why don't you lead off with the first one?
The first one is actually Fable 71 by Prof Dresser. He gave the story a 5 and the art a 3, and he said, "I got to admit, however, I did have some beefs with the visuals in this issue. First off, were the borders for the Cinderella storyline. I've always liked the fact that Fables features these thematically appropriate borders on the sides of the pages. It gives a stronger storybook air, and it helps you realize when the story has shifted location or focus, and it also helps to set an atmosphere. That said, I thought that the black and white circles with the glass slippers in them didn't really set an atmosphere for me, and worse, they distracted the eye from the panels, especially when they would reverse their coloring schemes." It's a good point. I don't know if I noticed it specifically, but I did notice that something felt off, and I think that he has managed to nail that down. Last issue we had Nico Hendrich on, and this week this issue Mark Buckingham is back, which is always good because he's very consistent with the characters and everything. But it did feel a little weird. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Not bad. Yeah. Story's still a 5. I give it that.
It had a nice cover though. I'd have to admit that. I did see the cover. Beautiful. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Torque writes for Iron Man 27. He gives the story a 3 and the art a 2. These are both out of 5. He says, "All in all, this wasn't a very impressive issue with a lot of flaws, but certainly drove the story to where it needs to be next issue. As the penultimate issue of both the Haunted Arc and the Knopf's run before Stuart Moore takes over, this issue seemed kind of too low-key in the middle of the pack. I really want to like this arc, but so far it's been swaying between pretty good and so-so. Here's to hoping next issue knocks it out of the park." I know Josh and I are reading this, right?
He pretty much nailed it. I mean, that's kind of how it felt, yeah. This is one of the 90 to 95 Tony Starks that inherit the Marvel Universe. It's only one guy, but every story is something different.
Is this the one where he's on psych leave?
Yep. Oh, yeah, geez. And there's a he's trying to stop the Mandarin from releasing this horrible biological agent that will kill 6.5 billion people.
That's happening in Countdown. Yeah. What's going on?
And then the Senate decides to have a hearing about him, whether he's sane. And Doc Samson's like, he is sane. And they're like, "You put him on psychiatric leave." And he goes, "We're wasting time." It was good stuff, but it's like,
no, this is like an all-star Iron Man book, Ultimate Iron Man. I know. I had fun with it. I really like the art. I think the art is better than 2.
I agree. Yeah.
I think the art's really strong in this comic. Yeah. It's one of the best things about it. I don't know if I'm going to stay on when the Knopfs leave. I don't know. I don't really know Stuart Moore that well, so I don't know if I'll continue. But one thing that's weird is that this book used to be called Invincible Iron Man. Then they changed the name to Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and now they're coming out with an Invincible Iron Man book.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have enough Iron Mans running around.
We need more Iron Man.
That guy has a busy schedule.
He's a little underexposed is the problem.
It's just going to get worse, too, in the next two months.
Why? There needs focus. Yeah. Somebody's got to take Iron Man and then direct him. Like, have him be a thing.
The art of this comic is good. I don't know what the guy's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So if you want to share your opinion in your comics that you read, go to ifanboy.com/comics, sign up, pick your comics, leave a review. Maybe we'll read it on the next show. So thank you. And when you're picking your comics and you're trying to decide what you want to buy, you might want to tell your shop owner about FooComics.com. FooComics.com is a site that is designed for comic book stores to help manage their customers and their pull lists and their subscriptions and that sort of thing. And it makes it really easy to manage their orders and all that kind of stuff. It was created by a comic collector, so he had a good idea in mind what he was looking for in terms of customer service from a store. And it's completely free. So head over to FooComics.com/iFanboy to learn more and tell your store owner to check it out.
Cool. Email is up now.
Someone else. You want to take that then? All right. Yeah. Chris S. from Newark, Delaware. I didn't know there was a Newark, Delaware.
We're in Delaware.
He says, first off, let me thank you for opening my eyes to other comics other than your traditional superheroes. I've been collecting and reading comics for 21 years and have mostly stayed loyal to superheroes. With your podcast and videocast, I started to purchase trades and that don't involve superheroes. Now to my question. That does involve a superhero. Did any of you read the premium hardcover of Iron Man Demon in a Bottle? If so, what was your opinion of both the quality and the content of the story and the art?
Well, I didn't get the – it was recently re-released in hardcover, so I didn't actually pick that up, and I don't know if any of you guys did, but I've read this story arc before.
Josh, have you read it?
I haven't. I just know it has the best cover ever, and I kind of don't want to ruin it by reading it.
No, it's you really should. It's really freaking good. It's really good. I mean, it's probably – it's. I mean, like – You know how in, you know, how many years have we had all these characters? What, like 40, 50 years of these Marvel characters? And there are some, like the first Galactus Fantastic Four story is like the definitive Fantastic Four story. And like the Kree Skrull War is like the definitive Avengers story. And like there are all these different kind of moments, like Daredevil, like Frank Miller's run on Daredevil is seen as like this, you know, moment of the time.
Right.
This story is like the Iron Man story. It is just it's epic. So and for those who don't know, it deals with Iron Man wrestling with being an alcoholic and confronting his demons and how it ruins his life. And at one point, you know, he hits bottom. Jarvis quits. You know, like it's just like it was very realistic in what happened. And it was I'm trying to remember the creators. I want to say Bob Layton and Dave Michelinie. Right. I think that's
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And it was just, I mean, it just, it's, it, I mean, it's definitely, you know, like late 70s, early 80s style, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, like the art wise and stuff like that, but the story is just, it's one of the best stories Marvel's ever put out, especially with Iron Man, with all this Iron Man talk that's happening.
Oh, enough Iron Man, enough.
It's made me want to read it.
So if you...
No, I mean, that sounds good, but come on.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't seen nothing yet.
He's on psych leave.
So if you have any other questions about Iron Man, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. On to the voicemail. Luke from Denver's got a question about a controversial creator.
Hey, iFanboy. This is Luke Hopkins from Denver. I am curious about Dave Sims' new book that's coming out, Glamour Puss. I don't know if it's this week or next week, but it's coming out. I have one trade of Cerebus, and it's beautiful. But it's also, like, apparently the series is, like, 300 issues, and it's just huge, and I don't have that much money. So I was wondering if any of you guys have read it, and what are your thoughts on it? Because it seems like a pretty large thing, and obviously it looks good. So what are your thoughts on that? Hope you guys are all having a wonderful day. Bye.
I am so excited for Glamour Puss, you have no idea. I cannot wait for this book to come out.
Really?
I heard this voicemail and I went to look it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was coming, but I really didn't know what it was about.
Right.
And I don't know what it's about.
It's okay. What did?
Website is very dense. But, it's weird.
But it's weird. Admittedly, it's weird, and it's not going to be for everybody. Well, first off, to address the Cerebus question. So Dave Sim did an independent comic called Cerebus for 300 issues. It's all done now. He started in like 1979, and he finished like last year or a couple of years ago, a few years ago. And he's a little controversial because some of his views are a little misogynist. But that said, I've been reading. I just started the second. They're often called the trades of Cerebus are called phone books because they're kind of a little bigger and they're big kind of phone book shape size. I finished the first trade recently and I'm reading the second one. I'm going to read the whole run because I haven't read the whole run, yet. And if you have if you can afford it, I would.
Aren't they relatively cheap for their size?
Yeah, they are relatively cheap for the number. Like you get like 25 issues for like $25 or something like that. I mean, like it's
black. $20.
And it's black and white, and it's like they're it's really worth. I mean, it's one of the great, you know, achievements in comics. But that said, he's back with a book called Glamour Puss, which I don't really know what it's about either.
It has something to do with a fashion magazine parody and then 50s noir comics.
Yeah, well what's interesting from an art standpoint is that he is he's basically saying this is his homage to like the Alex Raymond school of art. And people like, you know, Kniff and Stan Drake and Leonard Starr and actually early Neil Adams, the kind of photorealistic illustration that appeared in fashion magazines in the early 60s. And what's fascinating from a discipline standpoint is that he, through this comic book, he is teaching himself to draw in that style. So like what's happening is that he's admitted he's lightboxing and he's tracing Alex Raymond art. And then he, you know, to try to get it, then he's trying to draw it himself. It's kind of parody of 60s fashion magazines, but what the story is, I have no idea. I saw the preview copy that he sent out to retailers, and it's beautiful, and it looks crazy, and I love it. I can't wait. So
yeah,
that sounds like a minefield.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, his controversial reputation on that subject matter sounds like it's a minefield of controversy.
I can't wait.
Next up, Johnny Destructo from Philadelphia.
Hey, fanboys. This is JD from Philly, Johnny Destructo on the site. And I was wondering what you guys were thinking about the upcoming slew of geek movies coming out. Hulk, Iron Man, Dark Knight, Punisher Warzone, Wanted, even things like Speed Racer or Indiana Jones. I think those kind of count. I was wondering what you guys were looking forward to and what you think might not do so well. But anyway, that was it. Have a good one.
Of course, we're excited. What are you, crazy? Of course, we're going to review them. It'll be Pick of the Week there'll be special edition, not Pick of the Week, special edition podcast for most of them.
Yeah, the biggies. I mean, I think there's an Iron Man movie.
There might be. Like Iron Man, Dark Knight, Hulk. Yeah, they'll be Pick of the Week shows. I mean, damn it, there'll be some special edition shows for those.
I might be alone, but I'll do one for Speed Racer. I'm very excited for Speed Racer.
You'll be alone.
Yeah. No, I'll go see it. I mean, why not? But
genius casting. Racer X is Matthew Fox.
Hulk, Iron Man, Punisher, Dark Knight, maybe Speed Racer. I would think probably not Wanted, but maybe if there's enough outcry for it.
The trailer looked a shitload better than the comic book did.
Yeah, ooh. Indiana Jones is really... There's a comic book about it. I guess we could do one for Indiana Jones. Yeah, I mean, it's a busy summer. I was looking through it the other day. It's a lot of stuff.
It's going to be fun.
Iron Man's right before Emerald City Con.
Yeah.
The weekend before.
Should be exciting. Yeah. All right. Our next voicemail has got a comment about the website.
Hey, guys. This is Ryan. I'm calling from Pittsburgh. And I guess this isn't much... It's not really a question as much as it is like a request and a comment. Basically, I wanted to tell you guys how much I'm enjoying the new website, and I think it's really awesome. The only problem I have is that I'm one of those people that's a little bit behind in their comic book reading. So when I do get around to comments and doing reviews, I'm like a week or two behind you guys. So I was just going to see if you guys could encourage the other iFanboy users to go back and look at previous weeks. And just because, you know, we're in the current week, to not forget about the old stuff. And go back and see what other people are still saying about the books that just came out like a week or two ago. So that's about it. And thanks, guys. You're doing a great job.
Hey, Ryan,
it's like you're talking to him on the phone.
I am. That's fine. That's how personal we get. You know what? You know, he makes a good point. You know, the one side of it is, you know, it's the web. The web's moving forward. On the web, it's today. And a week ago is a really long time ago on the web. However, you know, that information's still there. It's not going anywhere. So all of those, if you were curious about books that came out a couple of weeks ago, you can always search them on the site, and then you can, you know, see what people said about it. You can check the reviews. You can check the ratings. You can check that stuff. You know, if you go in and you do write a review on a book that came out 2 weeks ago, it'll still come up on the homepage. It's still there.
It's important to note that if you go on the homepage and scroll down to the bottom of the page and the user reviews, those four that are shown there are the four most recent ones written. So if you write a review of a book that came out 3 weeks ago, it will show up there right after you publish it. So that's a good place to catch them out. But also keep in mind, you know, like, it was, as everybody knows, it was a lot of work to get the website out there, and we're not, you know, like, we didn't just put it out there and now we're done. Like, we're constantly, constantly talking about ways to make it better, to fix things, to tweak the way some things work. And one of the areas that we definitely want to highlight more is the community reviews and ratings, and figure out, you know, better ways for you guys to find that information. So keep writing the reviews, keep telling people what you think of comics, and, you know, over the next few months, you'll see lots of changes and improvements to the way you can find them.
Yeah,
I thought we were done.
No,
we're not done.
It just started.
You know, all that stuff that you're on the site, you go, it'd be cool if it did this, or this doesn't work exactly like I want it. We know, right. And we're going
to... And also, if there are things that you want to see on the website, and I mean, please email us at contact@ifanboy.com and let us know. I mean, like, we're doing it, you know, we're doing it for us, but we're also mainly doing it for you. So if there's something that you'd like to see, let us know, and we'll see if we can get it into the pipeline.
Yes.
So if you have any other questions or feedback or anything, you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. And thank you, Ryan, for the feedback. And everybody, go back and find Ryan's reviews. I'm sure they're pretty good. Although I don't
Ryan should have told us his username.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ryan, what's your username?
All right, kill it. Let's go.
All right, so you can head over to ifanboy.com and check out my review of Invincible 49, which is the pick of the week, or Connor's review of Queen and Country, which is the book of the month, as well as Jonathan Hickman's biweekly column, Paul Dini's weekly column, Gordon the Intern's columns, Josh and Connor's and my musings and postings. A lot of great stuff at ifanboy.com, as well as all of your opinions and thoughts on the week's comics and stuff like that. So head over to ifanboy.com, register, become a user today. There are lots of good stuff coming on the website. So
yes, and if you like the books that we talked about in, say, the video shows or anywhere else, you can go to ifanboy.com store and see stuff there, or picks that we have, or you can use that as a link to go to Amazon to buy stuff that way, and that's a good way to support us. If you want to go to get a Netflix trial, you can go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy, and you get a free two-week trial that way.
If you don't know, if you're not watching, we also do a video show. Our weekly show comes out every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on revision3.com/ifanboy, as well as on ifanboy.com, and it's there all week for you to enjoy. Yesterday, we released highlights from the comics podcasting panel, which I believe is a first. No podcast panel has ever been captured on video and released. before, so
into the wild.
So you can see us along with Brian from Comic Geek Speak and Chris from Around Comics and Logan and Leany from iRead Comics, and it's a fun conversation, and it was a fun show. So check that out. And next week we have an epic episode.
Yep. This was our first full week of iFanboy Mini, which is the new daily video show we've been doing. There are 1 to 3 minute or less episodes, and you can find us every single day in the morning on the East Coast at ifanboy.com or revision3.com/ifanboy.
And it's really important to note that it rolled out this week on Revision 3 that you can now subscribe to just the minis or just the weekly or both. So if you go to revision3.com/ifanboy, click subscription options. You can pick whatever feed you like, and we're going to be adding those feeds to ifanboy.com very soon. Not sure, you know, like, haven't really heard a lot of people complaining about the minis, which is awesome. So hopefully you're all liking them.
Hey, I'm back to selling stuff again. What the heck?
You're the huckster.
I am. So if you want a t-shirt, go to jinx.com/ifanboy. You can send in pictures of the shirt to Jinx or to us, and maybe we will do something. I don't know what. You'll get stickers from Jinx. You send to them, so who doesn't want stickers?
And as we previously mentioned, you could email us those pictures at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS, 326-2697 with any questions or comments or any thoughts you have about the world of iFanboy.
You want to be our friend on social networks? You can go to ifanboy.com/users and find all of our profiles there.
You go to ifanboy.com/about.
Whatever. It's about users. It's a part of the show where it all falls apart anyway. ifanboy.com/about. If it was in the script, I would get it right.
It is.
It is. I'm looking at it.
Where? It's not in mine.
Social networks listed at ifanboy, ifanboy.com.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Whatever.
All right, this one's just dead. We're moving on. If you like this, if you want more people to listen to this professional, fun, I think the word is I don't know the word. If you think people should listen to this or watch the show, you should tell other people about it because you guys are really the only way that we can help get it out there because I don't know if you've noticed, not a giant marketing budget. So go to iTunes, write reviews for the audio show, for the video show, and rate them. I know it seems like there's a lot of stuff up there, but, you know, keep going. It really helps us out, and we really, really, really appreciate it. Just tell people in the comic shop, do whatever. Thank you.
And
I'm chilling.
And what also helps us out is if you like what we do, head over to ifanboy.com/donate, and you can throw a couple bucks our way, and if you have it to spare, we really appreciate it as we, you know, work pretty hard to bring this stuff for you absolutely free of charge. Well, that wasn't as bad as last week. I'll give you that credit. I'll give you that much.
That's what we're shooting for now. Yeah. Not as bad. It's the opposite of Peter Gibbons. Every single show that we do is the worst show we've ever done.
Exactly.
So at any point that you start listening to the show and you think, how's it going? This is the worst show I've ever done. It's not that bad. Last week's show was the worst show we've ever done.
In a long while, yeah. Jeez. Anyway, so all right. So until next week, I'm Ron.
Connor.
And I'm Josh. I'm very professional.
In 3, 2.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 125. My name is Connor. I'm here with those
Josh?
Two guys who aren't talking.
Do it again. I'm sorry.
I'm always last.
Okay, go.
Hey, welcome to the... three, come in.
3, 2.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 125. My name is Connor. I'm here with...
Ron.
And John. Oh. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on over and over in your mind about it. And like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it. Work your way through it. Figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.